Begin transmission.
You are listening to Corellian Run Radio, your route through hyperspace to the latest news on Star Wars: The Old Republic.
Hi, and welcome to Corellian Run Radio. This is a special report that we are recording Sunday, November 22nd, 2014. We're going to talk about the EA press event that was this last week, and also let you listen in to the Q&A from the event. My name is Jason. I'm joined by my co-host, Heather. Howdy, Heather.
Hey, Jason.
We are also joined by a co-host from the SWTOR community. Who is it, Heather?
Our special guest today is SWTORista. She runs the SWTORista website and SWTOR Stronghold. And so, hi, SWTORista, and welcome.
Hey there.
I would like you to be my guest.
We would be honored if you would join us.
Everything's perfectly all right now. We're fine here now. Thank you. How are you?
Yes, welcome to the show. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. I am pretty tuckered out from the event and getting everything down since then.
I think we definitely need to bring you back for just a one-on-one interview. But the real reason we asked you to be here is because you and Heather, like you said, both went to the press event this last week. So I'm just going to pop the question to both of you. How was it getting invited? And what are your thoughts on the event? You know, was it well received? Do you think it was a good event?
It was really, really exciting to be invited. I was driving around in the car going antique shopping, and I was looking at my phone going, "Sisterial? Wait, who's this from? What's this email? Oh, wow, I can actually go. All expenses paid. Oh, my gosh." The event itself was incredibly exciting. There was a large portion of the dev team there, way more than I was expecting to see, and they released a lot of info about both the expansion and just the kind of stuff we're interested in as longtime players.
Nice. How about you, Heather?
Yeah, I was really excited. I don't remember where I was when I was when I saw the email that we that Corellian Run Radio got invited, but I was so excited. I was also wondering, is this real? Am I really going to go to EA and they're going to pay for it? So that was it was really exciting getting to go to the studio, to the headquarters, and meeting more people, because I've met a few of them before, and I'm really excited for all the new information to come out.
Before we get into the Q&A recording, I want to know, what was it like being at EA? What did you guys do there all day long? You know, let us give a rundown of what happened.
Oh my god. Well, I got there really early because I was worried about traffic. And then it turns out, so Teresa was in the same hotel as me, so we could have just rode together because she was on time. I was like really early, like an hour early.
We got into the lobby and I was sitting there just waiting for the event to start because I was a few minutes early. And I kept looking over at the corner. There was a woman in a yellow shirt and a very large necklace. And I was like, oh, why do I recognize that person? Why? I feel like I've seen her picture before. Oh, it's Heather from the Pretty Little Sith blog.
Nice.
Yeah. So I kept looking around too. I was like, oh, who are all these people? They have to be people that I should know from the community. Someone's got to be familiar, but, you know, not everyone shows their picture. Anyway, so someone came around to check everyone in and get everyone's accounts and email addresses just in case. But Victoria, so Teresa's real name, she introduced herself to me, and it was awesome. I was so excited that I got to meet her because I had heard so much about her on Teenycast and just, you know, throughout the community.
And it wound up being the other two community visitors were Lullaboo, who is a streamer and is Towley's girlfriend, so you might have heard of him and her, and you can take a look at their streams on Twitch TV. And the other community member was Michael, the GM of Death and Taxes, as well as the owner of the State of the Galaxy Twitch stream.
Yeah, I was actually supposed to hang out with Michael the day before. Well, kind of. I'm not supposed to. We were going to hang out the day before, but then his hotel was like way farther from San Francisco downtown, so we didn't go out. So that was a surprise when I met him. And that was exciting also. I'm excited when I meet anyone from the internet.
So what did you guys do the rundown after you guys got to meet everybody? Seeing everybody from the community that was there, what happened when you first got there after you got checked in?
Oh, well, we took a picture next to a really big Shadow of Revan poster.
Oh, I saw and that. Then, I'm so jealous.
Yeah, and then after that, they brought us into a room. I'm guessing there's about 16 computers because of the content that we did later. But they all had Shadow of Revan on the wallpaper, on the desktop. And the four of us, Lullaboo, Soterista, Michael, and I, we had special seats in the back row because we were players. So they had some special plans for us.
They told us to sit in the back because we already knew what we were doing.
Awesome.
Yeah, and they also, they gave us all free copies of the novel Revan, which, oh god, I have to read it. it's coming up soon.
You haven't read it yet?
No, well, I have it on my Kindle, but I just haven't gotten around to it.
Oh my gosh.
This disc.
Get on that, girl.
For anyone else who hasn't read it, I'm really lucky and I already have a copy at home, and with the copy that I got at the event, I got it signed by quite a few members of the dev team, and if you keep your eyes on the Reddit Sator subreddit, I will eventually be giving it away to someone in the community.
Yeah, so Teresa's more responsible than me that when she got the autographs on there, but I actually have like just one extra book, so maybe we'll get that out on Corellian Run Radio too.
Nice.
So they went over the agenda. That was Debbie Sue Wolfkill, the marketing director, and then the devs, they all did their little presentations. The first one was Jeff Hickman. He's actually the general manager, and he did a little spiel about the game, especially for the press, about how they've had 3 AAA quality expansions. It's the 3rd year anniversary of the game, and how next year was going to be a really big year for Star Wars overall, and also how next year is going to be new, bigger, and cooler.
If you're listening to his speech alone, you'd be like, dang, that game is probably doing really well. And we're lucky enough that we know it's not just bluster or just bragging. We've seen some of the numbers come up from various MMO sites, and Tor is doing fairly well as far as we can tell. It keeps being on the top 10, top played lists. It keeps being spoken about okay within EA in terms of profits. So it sounds like it's going to be sticking around for quite a while more.
Yeah, I'm really glad about that. And then the next presenter was Bruce McLean. He's a senior producer, and he just reviewed the features of Shadow of Revan. If you're a player, you mostly know about these, such as the increased level cap, the 2 new flashpoints, 2 new planets, Rishi and Yavin 4. And also he talked about the solo mode for flashpoints, which most people, well, maybe not most people, but most informed people about the game know about.
He was also very excitedly showing a bit of the new discipline system he displayed live, Force Lightning. He went and threw his arms out.
Oh,
everywhere.
yeah, that was awesome.
Very cool.
Yeah, and they also, he also showed a picture of the last boss of the Ravaged Operation. I guess it's spoiler alert. Ravaged Operation, it ends on a ship flying on a cloud, which really looks really, really cool. I really hope that, it shouldn't be too bad on story mode, so I hope that I can see that.
Sounds like they really want to make the story mode something very accessible, something that everybody can see, so I imagine it'll be pretty easy.
Yeah, it kind of seemed, you know, just from going through the Q&A again, that story is something they're definitely emphasizing again, which is their biggest selling point, so I'm glad to hear that.
And you guys will hear in the Q&A later, but hard mode is actually hard, so no worries for that. And then the next presenter was Charles Boyd. He was surprisingly younger than I thought he was. I don't know, for some reason, maybe the name Charles, I thought he was a lot older, like gray. but he's not. Anyway, he's the lead writer. He talked about his writing team planning stories for Revan since like 2006, which, oh my gosh, that's even before the game came out. And he was happy to finally be able to present this chapter in the Old Republic. And this is definitely the last chapter that they've written for now about Revan.
We'll find some kind of conclusion in his story. Charles Boyd was also described by Bruce as wonderfully bearded.
Yeah, and then there was, after that, there was just other staff members from BioWare there. There's Andrew Horowitz, a producer that I met in Las Vegas at the community cantina, and Eric Musco, community manager, Deb Shin, marketing manager, Hazel Kelly, aka HK30, who is a live producer, and Eric Mulkey, who's in QA.
And after that, we were actually able to get into the game itself.
So first thing, when you pop in and see it, what were you thinking?
We had a choice of four characters, and you know me, I'm like, I have to play an assassin, but we can play an assassin, I can play an assassin because we were playing Republic,
Republic!
Yeah. What's your main anyway? Are you pub or?
I'm a Vanguard tank, so I was super happy when I found that as a choice.
Oh no. Anyway, well, so me and Michael, we were like, okay, well, what advanced classes do you have? And I had a guardian and he had a shadow. So we switched because we were more comfortable doing that. And so what we did was we played through a solo mode of one of the flashpoints. We did Blood Hunt.
The Blood Hunt flashpoint was so cool. The solo mode was actually pretty good. It was super easy. So if you're worried about your gear or you're worried about doing a whole flashpoint by yourself, don't worry about it. What basically happens in the solo mode is you get a little extra droid companion. So there's yourself, whatever companion you choose, plus the what Eric Musco called the Jesus droid.
Oh yeah, the Jesus droid. They recommended that we take HK-51, but I was like, poo-poo, I'm a DPS shadow. I want a tank companion. So I brought
Tree.
Who's probably in like level 10 gear, and so she died, but my Jesus droids survived and kept me alive.
Interesting companions, I was able to give my extra set of gear to my companion.
Oh.
No, I have to jump in here. So, can you guys elaborate on the droid at all?
I wish I paid more attention. I just know one was healing me. I think one was taunting because I was able to do Shadow Strike.
Yeah, I noticed he was able to tank off of me while I was actually actively tanking as well.
Is it kind of like that Flashpoint Companion is sort of like Treek in the way it kind of has multiple?
It must, if it was healing in yours, Heather.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Alrighty.
So that's something to look forward to. And they're also, they mentioned that they were going to have solo modes of the Forged Alliance's Flashpoints, too. So you'll be able to try out Jesus droids in the older content.
So how was the Flashpoint? Going
so good. The cinematics are so good. When they're saying things like, we're going back to our character, Sotor cinematics, epic, so awesome. They meant it. Oh my gosh. The visuals for the cutscenes were so good.
Yeah, one really cool thing about Bloodhound was I noticed that there is different rooms. I guess, maybe it's random every time that you get a different room, because I remember, I don't know if I can talk about this now, but I've done the Flashpoint before, and I saw a different room.
Possibly, maybe some random variable like
quad. Really? Should we compare what you and me got, Heather, then?
Ooh. Oh gosh, what did I get?
I know I got a Core Slug for sure. I think I maybe got a Baby Rancor. Some other big thing I killed too. Oh, a Lurker, like a Swamp Lurker.
I don't know. God, I'm like, I don't remember.
So
yeah,
fast.
I just killed everything.
Heather just
so
kills
everything.
It's like, whatever. Die,
that'd be
die.
Really cool if they were random. I hope they
because,
are.
Because, like, yeah, you saw how it was like a circle and there was different pods. So,
oh gosh, that'd be really exciting. That would be
so it's different every time. Yeah, and it's not like, God, what's that one that I hate? Kuat Driveyards?
Mm-hmm.
it was different from that. So, well, but cool. It seems, yeah.
It's going to add more playability, replayability, actually, I should say.
Yeah, but we'll see if I'm just, like, crazy or if we actually do get to go into different different areas. I mean, why would they have them on the map if you couldn't go into different ones?
They're listening to us. They're going to make, if it's not there, they're going to make the change right now. So.
We have 1 week to launch.
They can do it. So now, the Flashpoint, you guys both thumbs up on it. So after the Flashpoint, you're blown away. What happened then?
Not to kill people!
Yeah, that was after lunch in PvP, right?
Yes.
Yeah, were you on the winning team or the losing team? I was on
the winning team.
Oh, high five! We were on the same team.
I was up guarding the node.
Yeah, so we were supposed to do the Ancient Hypergate. That's the one with the thing in the middle and then the two sides, but we ended up doing Novarkos instead. That's the one with the east-west and the mid. And a few of the Bioware employees got onto computers too so that we would have enough players for two teams. That's why I think there were 16 computers in the room. And the group makeup.
Some of the press had never even played the game before, so I imagine it was kind of rough for them.
Yeah. Maybe that wasn't such a good idea to do PvP.
You guys didn't pull back though, did you?
No, I got the most kills, which was really exciting. I got 28.
I'm not shocked.
But Michael from Death and Taxes, he got 27. And he actually had a bit more damage than me, but he was on the losing team. I guess he wasn't able to carry them enough. Poor thing.
Now, big thing, was there developers there that you got to kill?
Yeah. Well, I know Hazel, HKA30, one of the live producers, she was on my team. But I think one of our team members actually disconnected because we finished out with, we had like 7 people in our party.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, listen. I think, also had one leave, and yet we still won.
No, the sad thing was, I think the last person was Musco, so that would have been really nice to say, oh yeah, I did a Warzone with Musco, but oh well, whatever.
We did a Warzone with the Ghosts of Musco. It's okay.
Ghosts of Musco. So after dominating in the war zones, where do we go to next after that?
We can't say.
Yeah, we just, No, we can say. After the war zone, we did the Flashpoint together, Battle of...
Okay, so after the thing that you went to, but you can't say, what happened that you can say?
Oh, well, we had some time to just do whatever we want in the game, but we can't talk about it. And then we did our personal Q&A session with the devs. They moved us into a different room, and this is actually back to the room where we took that original picture with the Shadow of Revan poster. And so, y'all, we started up our recorders, and the Q&A began.
Nice. So, good day, was it?
Yeah, it was so much fun. They had so much extra stuff at the end that I got, like, more wristbands and more goodies.
Yeah, I stole some more swag as well.
Nice, swag is good. So now, when they asked you guys again, how quickly we respond, yes?
Yes.
I said 5 seconds.
Nice. That's what I want to hear.
Oh.
Can you guys do a little lead-in to what we're going to be hearing here on the Q&A that we're going to play for everybody?
No GSF, not a lot of PvP, lots of answers of things we want to see, nothing about what is better than cross-server PvP.
Yeah, we're going to have the audio that we recorded during our Q&A session with the devs, and so we're really excited to present this to everyone. Sol Teresa also worked really hard on transcribing the whole thing, mostly paraphrased, so, don't direct quote us, but we do have the audio so that you can listen for yourself and decide what you think they mean when they talk about certain things.
Yes, we do have that transcript of the audio via Sol Teresa, and we will have that posted in the show notes below. So as you listen to the audio, make sure if you don't necessarily recognize something, read along with her transcription. And without further ado, here we go.
My name is Michael.
Hi, Michael. No phone calls on the air.
I am the GM of Death and Taxes, Sotor Branch. I run a pretty popular PvE stream. I do other things on there sometimes. I also run State of the Galaxy, where members of Death and Taxes do a panel discussion about, new stuff coming out. we're a little bit more like in depth and hardcore about it, because I know a lot of other podcasts are very surface, so we go nitty gritty.
And you live in Boston?
Yes.
Yep. In fact, you're on our flight back.
Yes, I am. Yeah. I should be. If all of you all are on the same flight, Musco is on, then yeah.
And Heather, introduce yourself.
My name is Heather Nazarino. I'm a podcast host on Corellian Run Radio. I also run a blog called PrettyLittleSis.com, and I also am a sometimes host of The Republic on Gamebreaker. Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes. Well, I'm sometimes on it. That's why. It's cool. Always.
Hi, my name is Araceli. You might not know me, but you might know my boyfriend. His name's Tally. He has a semi-popular live stream about NMO.
Yep. He's awesome. That's great. Slightly hotter.
So, I'm here on behalf of Tally, his girlfriend, Lou. I also run part-time streaming, and I actually... very much enjoy Star Wars, and I've been playing the majority of that on my time.
Nice.
So I'm just really happy to be here.
Yeah, cool. We're happy to have you.
Hi, I'm Victoria. I'm better well known as Soturista on Star Wars Saga and Booker. I also am the owner of Star Wars on Star Wars Generations. I'm also the Tash GM and a very active member of Drum Hope on Jama, a casual TV everyday
guild.
Nice. Cool. I'm Jason Winter. I currently write for MMO Bomb. That's my primary thing. I've done for a lot of other places. Just stuff for MMORPG. Used to be on Gamebreaker a lot. But yeah, I'm just here to cut the MMO Bomb.
Awesome. Cool. So... we thought it would be best just to get everybody in here and just have an open conversation about it, whatever you guys want to talk about, and instead of doing like the formal one-on-ones like we're doing with the other folks, so our influencers and you. So what do you guys want to talk about? What burning questions have we not answered?
Okay, well, I asked on Saturday what's going on with GSF, and you guys couldn't really say anything. I don't know if that's because there's nothing really going on.
There's nothing, yeah. The short answer is nothing is really going on right now.
Okay. Anything anyone is thinking of doing?
We are working on some stuff for next year, but we can't talk about it yet.
Okay.
If I may offer a suggestion.
Yes.
Main game incentives. Like, credits are not enough.
Yeah.
Like, I've mastered all my ships, and now I'm not really
good.
Yeah.
The reward scheme is definitely the target for us. What else you got?
I seem to have quite a few. Keep going. Yeah. Someone interrupts you.
Okay, well, I asked a few of these before, and I think the answers are sufficient. Okay, well, this is kind of a serious one.
Okay.
So I heard that privacy issues are the reason legacy account-wide friends... /ignores cannot be implemented. What's the privacy issue? It seems to protect the offender more so than the victim.
Interesting question.
Oh, you mean ignoring people?
Ignoring
their legacy?
Account? Yeah.
Okay. Because I was thinking on the other end, like, I don't want somebody to friend me on one character and then find me on another. Because I'm that kind of guy that,
right,
I don't... If I don't want to talk to you, I'm not going to be on that character.
Is there a way that we can make ignores account-wide, but friends not?
Where did you hear the privacy issue?
That's, I guess, just through the grapevine.
That's usually... Anytime people talk about account-wide anything that affects a character and goes across an entire account, it's always been... That's, from a live side, what we've always talked about is that it's a privacy concern. Because of kind of what Michael's alluding to, or like if you have... We had that one time where you could literally whisper someone and it would go across to a different character.
Oh my god.
Humongous privacy issue. So basically anything that touches character but branches across the account, we've always talked about as privacy. That's just always been our default answer.
But you're talking about ignore.
Yeah, ignore.
I don't want to talk to that human being on the other end of the keyboard, no matter who he plays, what he is, where he's at, make him go away from me forever. Can we add that to the list of things?
Yeah.
So tech requests.
Dude, that's what Breeze is doing right now?
While we're talking about ignores, one of the things I was asking around that people would like to see in here now was an ignore spam button that normally ignores
have to do
them
twice.
At the same time, it doesn't pop up a window and disrupt your...
So you can report them and ignore them in one stroke.
So other animals have that functionality. It's really sweet.
Yeah. I would like that as well.
Okay, I also went over this on Saturday, but you know, the thing where the abilities light up in gold, can we have that as an option to turn on and off and not
just
permanently on?
I told her I would talk to Lou, and he'd probably do it at 7 o'clock at night.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
But yeah, I like the idea of you know, giving people the options to toggle these things,
yeah.
Like we were talking about the 12xp option
yeah.
as well, I, you know. It would have been a nice to have. We wanted to get that kind of thing in there. We just didn't have time to do it. But, you know, going forward, if we do anything like that again, it's from what we're hearing, people really do
want
to be able to talk. Yeah.
Can you talk about now the thing that you were talking about, alleviating queue issues, or still not yet?
So still working on it.
Okay.
We are talking about what to talk about.
I think what we'll do is in a couple, because something was promised in a couple weeks, is that right?
Yeah.
So I heard something from Vegas that made promises.
Yeah.
Ben Irving. Okay.
I said before the end of the year we would try to put out some more information.
Yeah. At the very least, we can give a date.
Ben said 2 weeks. I was like, you haven't even talked to anybody. How do we begin to put it in
order? Ben just blurted out. To be clear, what you're going to get is not here's what we're going to do. What you're going to get is we know there's a problem, or we know there's a concern from players about this. Here's the kind of things we're talking about. We'll tell you more later. I mean, it's going to be.
Or we'll probably be able to say when.
Maybe.
When we're going to be. We are actively working on the solution, but it's and we're not trying to be coy. It's just we want to know, we want to be able to explain it in full detail, and we're still working on. It's a highly technical challenge. The things that we're doing. So
are you guys aware that the most commonly guessed answer to what that is by a lot of the players is that allowing free play to queue for everything, right?
No,
it's a removal of restriction.
Yeah.
We looked at those numbers. And I think if we took away that restriction, it wouldn't fix it.
Yeah, that's what
it would. It would. I actually know the numbers. We looked at it. If we remove that restriction, because the thing is like war zones, right? Free to play players can play 5 war zones a week. So we looked at how many people actually hit that restriction. It was less than 2%. I think it was like 1.4% of our entire free to play player base who plays war zones at all.
Yeah.
Would then be playing more Warzone, which would have such a money, you would not even be able to miss because we did actually look at that.
That was a better solution than that.
Yeah.
We have better solutions.
We're working on it.
Yeah.
I have a quick question. So I asked this earlier, I may get an answer. Are we going to see any resolution to the Raven in this expansion? Are we going to see a resolution to the story, to his characters?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes. This is
the end all be all.
This is the final chapter that we've been wanting to tell. So.
Until the next sequel.
Exactly. It's the final chapter that we have written so far.
Yeah.
It's all right.
There are some great teasers at the end of the expansion. There's some cool stuff there, but you also get a sense of closure. Absolutely.
Yeah, you will feel closure about the Revan story.
Once the book is closed on Revan, Kempis lives on.
Who, of course, he is Revan.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
He's also the Emperor.
And Batman.
I did want to bring this back to PvE real quick. This has been the longest valley in a content cycle in the game's history.
Yeah.
It's going to be 14 months by the time this expansion releases.
Yep.
Is this an anomaly?
Yes.
Okay.
The reason why is because we took a break, effectively, to build Galactic Starfighters and then Galactic Stronghold.
And you're talking specifically about operations,
yes.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Just to clarify.
Yeah.
It's also, I mean, that's part of the story, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I consider Dreadmaster as, like, a whole chapter.
Absolutely. Charles would agree.
There's so much fun to do.
Yes.
So on that note, is there going to be any other expansions before the next big expansion? like Galactic Stronghold, like a stronghold Starfighter.
No, we're it's safe to say that there's a finite number of core Star Wars fantasies, and when we did Galactic Starfighter, you know, piloting a starfighter is one of those that really fulfills that, and being on the guild flagship and conquering planets is also part of that. And those are very much filling a need, which, you know, every community cantina were asked about those things, and
yeah,
you know, they were fulfilling a need that we all felt and that our players felt with us. So there's unless you can think of something that's out there like that. It's like, you know, we need this. I mean, it's not to say that there aren't new features that we aren't already working on, but nothing to that scope. The big things what we're doubling down on is our BioWare cinematic storytelling, and that's more what you'll see next year.
What about like a mini game set, like a pod racing or more gambling, but like more exciting gambling?
Love that idea. We are very much looking at things that
we can do. We are all fans of gambling.
Yeah.
Almost everybody in this room.
On one of the streams, I think it might have been pod racing was mentioned. And it was said that you guys couldn't do pod racing because of graphical issues. Like, it would appear someone else.
So the chat, they're worried
about lag with that. It's not so much graphical issues, it's how the servers work. There's no real way.
Like, on your screen, you won, but the server says, no, actually, sorry.
Yep.
That's not very much, right?
Yep. It's just a natural outcome of client-server type.
And there are tricky little ways that you can kind of, like, get around that. Like, Lotro has the horse racing, where it's basically just you doing a timed race.
Yep.
And that's not really the spirit or, you know, that's not what I'm racing.
Yeah. Could you guys get Collision to work, too?
Smart.
Did you get Collision to work at all?
Oh, and that's another thing. Like, our collision is not built for any kind of physical racing.
Two moving targets.
Yeah.
Right. So, like, a racing game without collision is not really...
Right, you would just go right through each other.
Yeah.
Takes a little bit of the excitement out.
Yeah. I would
turns out we did build a racing game, so...
Yeah.
It's
going
to be hard.
In the actual movie, there's only, like, one finisher of that race.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everybody else.
We could do that. We just have you pod race until everybody else can.
You just
like
you would.
Like,
So you're talking about next year. Are you guys allowed to say about anything what's going to come up beyond this expansion?
Not today. Well, not beyond what Jeff has already said. And what I would have said, which is that we are doubling down on BioWare's cinematic storytelling, and we're very excited for the things that we are working on next year for them.
Yeah.
Today, our focus is really
Shadow Brevin.
Look, it's awesome, it's shiny.
You'll probably have a few hints when you get to the end of this one what kinds of things we might be dealing with.
Speaking of it coming now, then, someone said they've been working on this, they had the idea since like 2006, we've been talking about it. Why now? Why 3 years after launch? Obviously, it's a big deal being
Revan.
Yeah. Why is it coming out now?
Well, the story just had to kind of develop to that place, right? It's partly how often can we do releases? How many of those releases are going to be a story release for this thing or that? What characters do we need to get into the story to kind of develop toward these things?
And it's not really right now either. We created this story a year ago, and it was like with the Forge Alliance's Flashpoint, that was the beginning of the story.
Yeah.
So we had it, and we dragged it on for long, so it's hideous.
Well, it also, it wasn't like we sat down in 2006, wrote everything,
and
it has not changed a bit, obviously. Lots has changed.
The Forge Alliance, our Flashpoints are very cool, but what I didn't like about it was it forced us into spoiler...
Right, we couldn't talk about the expansion until the last Forge of Alliance came out, which I super appreciated them doing, but I'm sure no one else did. Don't tell them!
Very difficult marketing.
Yeah.
It was a funny year for us this year. I think about it. We have Black Strongholds comes out in August, and then,
we're, what, 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks, 4 weeks later, whatever it was. This is a big expansion. A big expansion in 2 months or whatever before we're launching. Mm-hmm. Like, we would normally not do those things, but to Bruce's point, we have to prioritize everything, and Galactic Strongholds was an important thing for us to do. We felt all believed very strongly in it, and this happened.
I'm not going to ask you to reveal what this is, but I know what card you played story-wise at the end of the expansion. That's a big card. So, do you feel it's early in the game's life cycle? Because it feels like it's been building up to that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if anything, I feel like it's been a long time since we touched on that particular thing that we're not. I feel like we're holding it back. We're not at the end of that. We're only at the beginning.
Okay.
For that.
Yeah.
So it's not gonna get wrapped up in the next
that'd be good,
patch
yeah.
or anything.
Yeah.
Charles does not want to write a set of business.
Okay, so something maybe just a little bit more technical, but when will there be a mobile authenticator for Windows phones? We already have one for Android and iPhones, but not Windows phones.
That's a good question.
I guess not enough people use Windows phones, so I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, that could
I didn't realize that it's only iOS. Why?
It's Android.
I got it. The time when we put it to have the Windows phones were...
I mean, I don't use a Windows phone, so I don't care that much. But,
players have
Windows phones.
I think that was the answer, at least from last time. There
isn't a market for enough justice on it.
That's exactly the answer for launch.
Yeah. Because,
one
thing that our mobile authenticators do, they cost us time. Anytime there's like an iOS update, we're like, oh! Our authenticator just broke with this latest iOS update. This is about to launch. Let's fix it. So, yeah. So there's probably a
non-zero.
I'll talk to our platform guy and find out. A few questions.
Are there new character customizations in the works, like hair, skin tone, eyes? I mean, maybe not necessarily for 3.0, but ongoing, like Lana Beniko's hair,
Theron
Chan's hair.
There are new character customization options in the works.
Okay.
Good answer. It is true.
I got a couple big questions.
Oh,
that it kind of requires me to soapbox.
Okay.
And Andrew knows part of what I'm going to talk about. It's
I'm ready.
Last time I was in UX for Star Wars, I talked about legacy gear and how it kind of wrecks progression.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can funnel all your gear to one guy. This isn't okay. I have to preface this by saying this isn't in a situation where the nightmare tier is split by a month. So you get one half of the tier at once, and then you get the next half of the tier a month later. People who can clear the content will clear the content on as many characters as possible and funnel that gear into one supergroup,
mm-hmm.
which they will then trivialize the next tier with. Or, I mean, hopefully they don't trivialize it. Hopefully it's hard enough that they can't.
Mm-hmm.
But that's sort of what happened last time. I'm not saying that that's the only reason like Zor's won, because it isn't. They prepared much better.
I like being disclaimer you so
this is a very nuanced and difficult thing to argue.
Legacy gear messes with progression.
Legacy gear, I know this doesn't make me any friends. I don't think it's good for the game. Like, at all. It does make it easier to gear out an alt, but should you be able to circumvent the lockout system like that?
Well,
yeah.
The problem with it is you have to be very careful pulling it out, right?
Right. I'm not saying pull it out, but like,
there's some like
for nightmare,
subset of
for
things.
For nightmare gear, should that be transferable through Legacy? You already can't craft it ever.
Right.
You still can't craft Kell Dragon gear.
Yeah.
So
that's a good idea.
Why should it be transferable?
Yeah, it's a valid point. I mean, but I know that Jesse wants to overhaul how that legacy gear system works in general, because
mm-hmm.
It's not great. I'm pretty sure that's the only thing people use it for right now.
Yes, it is. I mean, I use
so
it myself.
It's not really serving its purpose right now. But it is definitely. So to answer your question, it's something that we are looking at to alter. We don't know what that looks like yet. But that, I mean, that's a good piece of it. That could very well be part of whatever new
thing we do to it is a nightmare here. It just doesn't get to go anywhere.
The other half of this soapbox is itemization on token gear can be a lot better. There is no reason for me to get like a full set of token gear and not be accuracy capped. There's no reason for that ever to happen. Like, I shouldn't have to get 12 pairs of boots, or not 12 pairs of boots, 7 pairs of boots to hit accuracy cap. That's silly. It presents a barrier to entry to people who don't know how to gear.
Mm-hmm.
Because if their set just happens to be suboptimal, and they don't know that, they're just going to be worse than they need to be.
Interesting. Yeah.
There's a couple of, like, solutions that, like, bosses would drop tokens that would give enhancements rather than full gear pieces. Because the system's already modular anyway. So, I mean, I don't know. It's a nice, quick way to gear out, I guess. I don't know if you want it to be that quick. But it's some things.
Yeah.
I know Inquisitors complain a lot. Because their sets are always messed up.
Oh, that's interesting. It's definitely something we will talk about as we're getting into next year. Yeah, it's good.
More information can we make?
Of course.
Okay. Because
he lives
there.
He lives there.
Or no, he doesn't anymore.
What's up?
George knows where to find me.
Yeah.
We show up in a black van. We have only the best intentions.
That's fine with me.
So with Conquest being pretty exciting and fun for guilds, is there any way that we can have more guild functionality to help organize guilds like officer, message of the days, or guild mail?
We've been talking about guild functionality, guild mail would be awesome. There are technical limitations we have to overcome. Every technical limitation is kind of a weak excuse. Anything can be overcome given enough time and resources.
Because we have is the message of the day.
It's a question of it being worth it. And to your point, it's with Conquest and guilds and flagships, it's more worth it now than it's ever been. So.
But that is also one of the most commonly asked for things, right? Suites, overhauls, whatever you want to call it. And we realize it too. We want to give more power to guilds and more control.
Now that we've checked the box of player housing, that will not be the most common thing.
That's true.
I'm kind of like deciding if I like the questions. Okay, I'll just ask them. Because these are all the questions that I gathered from the community and people I've talked to. So this question. The combat system has changed significantly with 3.0. Can all players expect to put out equal damage now, regardless of class and playstyle they choose and enjoy playing? Which I already have an answer for that myself. I mean, there's obviously some classes that have different utilities now. So, I mean, I don't expect them to be equal, but what would you say?
I would say that one of the things we've been doing behind the scenes is really leaning into our developer tools. So, When the game was first launched, it was a massive undertaking. 500 plus people working on it at the time of launch, and so we brute forced a lot of things. So we don't have ideal developer tools in a lot of areas, and one of those areas is combat balance. So I kid you not, and I guess you're recording this, but the way we measured DPS a year ago. Is we get the rotation that we wanted to measure, and we get a stopwatch and actually do damage against it. And then hold it off and be like, wow, I did this. That's what our developers had to do. Since then, we have built automated testing tools that will actually just do it and measure the output, and it's vast improvement. So our class designers are much more confident in class. Class balance is never perfect, right? Which is great. If people are complaining about class balance, that means that's the only problem we've got. They always complain about that. But we take it very seriously, and they have better tools than they've ever had before to tackle it. That being said, we just raised level cap, we added disciplines, there's new abilities. So, Rob Hinkle's in target that he tells us is, I want everybody to be within 5%, assuming the perfect player, everyone to be within 5% of each other, you know? And so that's the goal. Whether we hit or not, we'll see. We're ready to see how it plays out. Those guys, more than anybody else, have been just working their hearts out over the last, since we went to the public test, they've been in every weekend, and we didn't say, hey, you need to do this, like, we want to do this. So they've been in every weekend, working late nights.
Trawling the forums
And
they think they've got it.
They're confident.
They set those goals, plus or minus 5% for anybody, and just last week, Rob was like, and we're good.
Yeah.
It was one of the unspoken things we had when we were doing the class rec system that I couldn't tell people, unfortunately, at the time, is that a huge amount of the information, which people in a lot of cases didn't think we were listening to, the feedback that came from the class rec stuff, literally was injected directly into the changes that are in 3.0. Like, a lot of the stuff where people are like, Sorks don't have a defensive cooldown, this is such bullshit, they have two, if you pick the right utilities, in 3.0. But I couldn't tell you that a year ago when we were doing the class rec. Like, yeah, they're working on the expansion right now, they couldn't get it in for the changes before then, but it'll be an expansion. So I couldn't say that a year ago, but they're there.
I don't want to expound on that even further. So when we did Rise of the High Cartel and added levels to the game, we had to basically take the talent trees down to zero and rebuild them all. And we were faced with the prospect of having to do that. And that makes balancing difficult as well. So one of the advantages of the discipline system, apart from the player facing advantages, you can't mess up not having the right. You can't. Some player, we have data on what our players pick, and it's surprising. You'd be surprised. Actually, probably. But apart from the player side benefits, it is much easier for our developers to work with discipline in terms of balancing. We know the core damage abilities that each person has. There's not a magical spec like the London Goldbricker, scoundrel who's like can heal and do insane melee damage. Discipline also helps with them and their confidence in achieving better class balance.
I did have a question. This ties into something I said earlier. When the combat team is testing these specs, what gear are their characters wearing?
That's a good question.
If it's stock, then you're not going to get accurate numbers.
Yeah, absolutely. So, just like...
Yeah, I can't remember what they actually use.
Yeah.
It's whatever it is not what you want.
That's probably.
probably. Yeah, but... I wanted to say that they use different sets of gear too,
reason why we did too much damage? Like, because we optimize and...
I know the answer to that. We call them damage sheets. Like, the way that we were balancing DPS numbers against bosses was we had them scored incorrectly internally. It's part of the reason that you see the change in DPS and healing and tanking numbers coming in 3.0. Because we were fixing our own formulas that we had wrong. Like the combat team's giving to the ops team to measure boss health and that stuff to hit targets, we were off. And the thing is, even if we're off by 2%, that's a huge deal when you get to an ops boss. And so we were off, not by a lot, but we were off. And so we were adjusting that. So that, yes, the answer is probably yes.
Okay.
Are you
let me see. Legendary gear is a searchable option on the GTN since launch. Will we ever see legendary weapons and or armor?
That'd
be pretty cool.
Like, you can search for legendary.
I don't think we can say any more about that yet. But talk has been happening about things that are related to that.
We haven't forgotten about that option.
Sounds like an opportunity.
And also, what's the status on Legacy Bank? Legacy, just having the same amount or all your credits pulled together on all your characters.
Oh.
Or at least, having the Legacy Bank access on the cargo hold, the Legacy cargo hold.
Yeah,
it would be ideal.
Interesting. I don't know.
I imagine something like that would potentially get rolled up into if we alter collections at all, or in the
And speaking of legacy, is there any possibility of having a legacy family tree decoration? Because you can see the portraits in your legacy family tree. And
I love that idea.
Yeah, I think it's cool too.
Corey knows of that idea, and we've been talking for a while about
how to do that.
Ways we can try to make that happen, plus other cooler stuff that would allow to happen without saying too much. But yes.
Okay. And then on the same train of thought with decorations, I know a lot of achievement people that would really, really, really like more decorations linked to their achievements.
Mm-hmm. We are going to continue to add decorations to the game for sure, and across all content channels. So.
And then one more from me.
One more.
Don't feel ashamed about asking questions.
Two more. I have
two more.
So someone, since we have so many daily areas and all that, someone was wondering if we could have an expanded mission log since it hasn't been expanded since launch. I mean, maybe 30 or something instead of 25.
That's tough. I know, because we've talked about this before. It
will ruin performance.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, that's a good.
That's why we have that.
Yeah.
We want it.
Yeah.
And it's like
no one is against it. Like
exactly. We'll forget about it internally. Yeah. And we'll be like, why do we have this cap? And then we'll go talk to engineering. And we'll be like, oh, right.
Yeah. Same with like NPC counting strongholds and we have a love-hate relationship with our engine, and in some ways it's a bear when it comes to.
Any plans on updating the engine or
no.
Not really?
No.
Yeah.
That's what we got. That would be a colossal
developing.
May I offer some criticism on Conquest?
Criticism on Conquest.
Sure.
Absolutely.
It's impossible to motivate the members of Death and Taxes to participate in it.
Well, I'm in despair, and we've been number one for like 2 months.
We have roughly 15 members who play actively, but we are among the top PvE players in the world. But
so,
I can't get them to care.
Yeah.
Because people in like on Pop 5 there's a guild called like Empire of Tau. We also have a Republic guild called Republic of Tau. And then they have reserve guilds, and they're all maxed.
Yeah.
It's impossible to compete with numerically superior guilds.
Yeah. Well, it's impossible to compete with the planet they're on.
Yes, but there's never enough planets to actually...
What about the Total War Conquest event? Every planet!
That's happened, and even then.
Oh,
it's, there are much, much, much larger guilds with members who care a lot more. I think part of the problem is that like the harder objectives, there's nothing for like clearing Nightmare.
Yeah. Right.
And there's nothing for hitting like a threshold ranking in rank PvP.
Yeah.
Or something like that.
So one thing about Conquest, it doesn't answer your question, but one thing that I have to say about that is if we just thinking about like the strongholds. We have only just really dipped our toe into what's possible with that system. We were very careful setting it up to give ourselves powerful tools so we can experiment and try some cool things with Conquest. And so we are talking about doing some different types of Conquest.
I can tell you that concern that you just outlined was in conversation and has been in conversation for a while. So they're aware of it and they continue.
What my members have taken to doing is, if they care at all, if they care about their achievement hunters and stuff like that, they will put an alt in the giant guilds, and then they'll hit the personal cap, and then they'll get the achievement.
Hilarious.
Wow.
All right, I'm going to feel bored now.
Excellent.
I have a bunch of questions from all of the community. I asked before I came here, just in general, what are you guys most excited about for 3.0? That's what these questions are based on. Okay, so question number one. Once we hit 60, will we be able to hop right into the new operations, or will we have to go back and re-gear, go back to Dread Fortress and Dread Palace?
You will be able to hop directly into them. In fact,
that is fantastic.
The storyline, the story modes of them, of course.
Yes.
The storyline actually leads you into the shadow of the Temple of Sacrifice operation. So, you can bypass it. You can just
Solo.
There's a solo option we go around it to get to the finale against Revenge. But the storyline leads you directly into that operation, and the story modes for that are meant to be seen and done They're awesome, and we want players to do them. Yeah. The hard modes are really hard, hard modes. Like, well.
They actually are.
Yeah. That's on tape.
No, I mean, I'm not so...
Not hard
for Canada. I'm not so, like, enthused by that, though. I'm concerned that people will, I don't know.
It can smell the effect on the whole thing.
I think that the average hard mode guy is going to be pretty frustrated.
Yeah.
All right. Someone at one of the cantinas was speaking to Gara Teague of the Unknown Sitter podcast, and with a little bit of alcohol involved, happened to mention a costume system. Is this anything you can talk about?
Who said that?
That was not me.
You will have to ask the community team
That was New York.
Who's in New York? Let's narrow it down. Who was in New York? Okay, good. Yes.
We are looking.
Have you taken a look at Gilbert's 2 costume system? Is there one of the ones like they are doing
yes.
very well?
They have an outstanding costume system.
Yeah.
Yes. we're a whole studio full of serious MMO gamers, and we every game we play, we're like, oh, I want that.
I'll go on record and let people know, because I think a lot of people have carried that joke. Like,
yeah.
Bruce literally went into New York going, I'm just going to tell people all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
I was literally in the front. Like, people have made the joke about that. Bruce is just drunk and railing information. Like,
it's my fault
that
he got drunk.
Yeah.
So.
Bruce quite literally was like, I know people have been frustrated because we were holding things close to the chest.
Yeah.
Our communication was light because we were holding things close to the chest going in Shadow Realm.
So
I'm lifting the
hook. I'm so frustrated this year with our foresight. Like, our whole approach has been just tell people what we're working on, tell the date we're shooting for. If we miss the date, we're like, sorry, we missed the date. We know you're mad because we missed the date. But, that's the approach we wanted. And it was, so I had a bit of a catharsis moment in New York.
If I may, I
love it.
I think that would be better, that approach, by the way.
I agree.
I've been frustrated as a player with how opaque everything's been.
I feel like 100%.
This last 8 months has just been super tough for that stuff.
Yep.
Mostly because of like Strongholds and Shadow Realm and where they're falling with each other. I mean, we truly believe that. And Bruce has shown it over and over. I mean, you think about January, I think, of this year when you wrote your Here's What's Coming this year.
Yeah.
And he basically was like, we got these expansions, and there's going to be another expansion, and then it's going to happen. And we're all looking at it going, oh my God, Bruce. He's like, yeah. So he believes it, and we will get back on that as we make
And that's why I don't get to go to Minigames.
we created our own perfect storm where we're just back. Because, like, really, like, no one at the table, like, we're totally a studio where, like, let's be transparent. I know some people scoff at us sometimes when we say it, but, like, it's what my team's mantra is. These guys love to do, like, we want to tell people everything.
Yeah.
We just created this weird situation where we basically put ourselves in a vacuum of silence on accident. Just happened that way.
Yep.
And it was kind of unavoidable because of the situation that we were in.
That was such a great crowd. They were just like, oh, it was such a great group of people.
People were really excited when you told them this.
So, yeah. Yes, we are looking at all of the things you just said. We are having a fresh look. We haven't been doing anything with them for a little while. We haven't been pursuing those things, but literally in the last month we've said, let's just take another look at these. Or whatever the technical reasons of old were, or our justifications, let's have a look.
Reassess.
Yeah.
Is that what you're touching on when someone asked about the crew skills offline at the Las Vegas Cantina on Saturday?
Well, I mean, as we look at that kind of stuff, that's like naturally one of the things that would come up with that we would consider, rolling into it, right?
What do the players want? What would cool things be that they would really appreciate? Now, can we do it? Reassess that.
Someone mentioned a while back that everything about the Felix View is a really big experiment.
loves it. It's great fun. It's like we have 8 KOTORs in our game, right? And you know,
we just kind of found a way to kind of bring those up.
Yeah, you just upload that. And that being said, it's not perfect. You know, it'd be great to be able to toggle it off if you didn't want to do that. Some of our travel.
Right.
There's a couple places where travel, like, wow, there's a lot of travel here on this, you know, where normally there would be other filler,
stuff to do on
the
gear lags a little bit.
Gear, which we're going to, So, but yes, very good, and we're talking about several different possibilities. We're definitely, it's safe to say that we haven't seen the last of it in some form.
It's a net positive.
Yeah. It's been a very net positive for us.
Would one crazy possibility be less filler, more cool stuff?
Yes.
Right.
I see how that works.
As you play through, Shadow Brethren was designed in a different way from, like Rise of the Hutt Cartel, and especially pre-launch. Like the way the quests are, you know, the focus is on the core story, the crypt path, as we call it. And the filler, as you might say, that's pushed off a little more, you know, much lighter weight. Let's put our resources into the coolest stuff.
Being very critical about
and
making sure that everything is meaningful.
Yeah.
The content we're putting in is meaningful and not just there to make you spend time.
Yeah.
All right, now the Congress have been out for a while. Have you seen a noticeable decline in guilds actually participating in them, or do you track those numbers?
We absolutely track those numbers. We are obsessive being Seriously. We look at those numbers. We have a report that comes out with all of those numbers and plenty more every week. We're obsessive data trackers. So actually, the percentage of guilds that own a flagship and participate in conquest has gone up since the launch of Strongholds. We weren't sure what was actually going to happen with that, but it is, at least in the numbers, it is showing that it is sticking around. And like I said, we haven't started experimenting with conquest. We built it in a very robust way that we can do some, you know, we can try different things. And we're talking about those things.
I have a suggestion for conquest.
Yeah.
Maybe like a faction-based competition, have one planet and just have like the imps all together, their score versus the Republic guilds all in one score, and then but then you would see how balanced
server
is.
Kind of a population check. But
yeah.
Well, you know, war is not about fairness. So
true.
I don't see a problem.
Yeah.
There's something
to
do to
mitigate
that.
Yeah.
All right. So there's been a lot of talk about
DMing.
I know this one might not be one you want to talk about at all. There's been some really positive things. For example, guilds have been able to talk about which conquest they can go after before the day of invading.
Yeah.
For example, Delphi's site, Sotor Mine has listed them. There's also been some very negative things where data mined items or perks have been seen, but then they weren't actually released for whatever reason, and players were upset about it. Even the little things like seeing stuff on the PTS and not having it carry over makes me fairly upset. Do you feel in any way that data mining should be allowed in certain cases or not at all?
Well, we can't stop it.
Our policy is they're going to data mine. That's how when we develop, we tell everyone this is going out. Right? It's going to get data mined. Just know that.
Yeah.
The client's in the player's hands. If the player wants to report the client and look at stuff, they can.
Yep.
We've always done stuff.
Makes Eric's life miserable. But I think overall, I don't think it's a problem. I mean, if people get upset about it, I mean, all we can say is, look, you're not promised anything.
Yeah.
We make a lot of stuff that we don't put out.
I can speak for the community has to. I think, especially in the past couple months, data mining especially has bubbled up as a thing. And there was this really strange perspective that came in from the community that we were waging a war against data mining. And I think that happened because we told Torcast that I wouldn't do an interview with them because they had been talking about data mining and exploiting.
Yeah, that was actually the thing.
Yeah,
that's what
spun this all up, is that they had a show where they were specifically talking about data mining, which I do need to say, although we know that it's going to exist, it is against our rules. But the big thing is that they were using that to specifically talk about how to exploit content. And so because of that, I just couldn't draw attention to it. And somehow for that spiraled into that when you hated data mining, you were like, you can look like we've never asked Reddit to take down a data mining post. We've never, even the fan sites that post data mining content, we've never asked anyone to ever take any of it down. Like, it's not that we're against data mining, it's just that we can't be for it.
That's right.
Like,
remember, to Eric's point, data mining technically is against what you're attacking. They're hacking our client. And so we can't go, yeah. But on the other hand, we know there's nothing we do, but I'm not going to fight a battle over something crazy like that.
And if you look at Delphi's site, like, I think that's incredibly useful, right? That's the kind of information that we were talking about before with, you know, extracting this kind of stuff out of the game and putting it on the web.
Yeah.
Like, we'd love to do that.
Yeah.
It's a lot of work to do it right and to make it meaningful and useful. But since we don't have it yet, you know, Delphi, we like Delphi.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Site is good.
And I think on our side, I think what helped cause that problem also is that we were in this silence vacuum that we had created.
Right.
And so data miners were given, normally if you look, like, we almost have this weird harmony between us and data miners, right? Where we talk about information that's coming, we make sure we get our announcements out. We're usually well ahead of even data miners. The stuff isn't in the game client when normal BioWare were being transparent and we're telling you what's coming. This situation wasn't that. And so we didn't have that thing where, sure, there's some things, data mining, it happens, and that's fine. We normally are ahead of it. In this case, we weren't. So it created strange friction that I'm not really sure how it happened, but it did. Oh, wow.
I can remember reading this post from you and from the other, and it's like, man, there's a crazy misunderstanding happening here.
Yeah. And it was a weird thing because, I mean, it's hard for, like, you imagine on our side, like, it's not like I can just message the data miners and be like, look, guys, we're totally fine. Because, like, it's weird because we're not against it, but we can't be for it. And so us publicly being like, data miners, great, guys, go right out there and do it. We can't do that at all. So
after being recorded.
Right. Right. So, sure. Yeah, no. But I mean, it's I'm being genuinely honest. Like, it's one of those things. It's a weird situation for us because it created a problem, and it's a problem that genuinely there was no way for us to solve.
That's right.
That covered my super awesome. Really want to ask a question. Which
one?
Okay. You guys
are
not.
You have 5 minutes left.
Yeah.
Oh, we are.
So on the point of we're recording this, I have a podcast. Was this not something I should just release or just summarize what I heard, or transcribe it?
I don't know the answer to that question.
Yeah, I have to ask
WC
Doer.
Yeah, I'll have to. But I don't think that it's a problem if you put a podcast as long as you do it after the market.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That's so, yeah.
Yeah,
I thought
check
you
with.
I thought you were before the market.
Oh,
yeah.
No.
Yeah.
So can I ask a nerd, lore nerd question?
Please.
There's an elephant in the room on Yavin 4. And I'm pretty sure he's not going to be addressed.
Ooh.
There's a ghost there, like a really powerful one, and it's not the other one, but it's from like 400 or 500 years before the game. And Xarkun's ghost is there, and he should be zipping around doing stuff. And
this is not his first Xarkun question.
It is not actually.
Go on.
Good.
Have you?
I don't know. Well,
so there's
honestly, I wouldn't have put the expansion there.
Yeah.
Considering that he's
there. A, that was partly. It was there because that was something we had been planning toward for a long time. Like, when I mentioned things from 2006, that's one of them. Like, that was, we wanted it to, that part of the story to happen there, for a variety of reasons. Partly, I don't know if you've been on there recently. Are you on the PTS?
I know, I've seen
a little bit of stuff touching on that, and it's something I'd like to explore more later. The trick is, all of that stuff would take a whole other expansion just to explain to people who don't know about it, right? Like, if you put Xarkun in as a major part of the story,
well, I mean,
and you're right, he deserves to have a place there.
Sure.
Like, yeah, he ties into all that, and there's other things that we've talked about doing behind the scenes that we haven't really put out yet that tie into that. But
well, like, you can't kill him because he's supposed to show up in like 3,500 years.
Right. You can't destroy his guy. Like, you know, there's limitations on what you can do with him. There's limitations on how much information we can convey in an expansion, right? Like, we have it's just like a TV show has 40 minutes, you know, we have this amount of time. And we have to decide, you know, do we want to spend it on these characters who are cool and who we like, but who a lot of people aren't familiar with and who haven't seen much of yet, or do we focus on Revan, on, you know, the stuff that we have been talking about, and
no,
find a way to wedge them in when we can.
It is very, it's very self-contained, but you are going to get a ton of questions about that.
With Stronghold, do you guys make any kind of conscious effort to make sure there's a balance between paid cartel market decorations and the ones you earn in game?
Yeah, absolutely.
Constant struggle.
Yeah. It is a constant conversation. What should be effect?
It's a negotiation between parties. But yeah, we do. We have that in mind.
Yep.
We don't want to just take all the cool stuff and throw it on the market.
We
want to
balance, and we strive to achieve.
What Foreground was fairly well received by the community. It was done pretty different from some of the last daily areas in this last past operation. Yep. What do you feel are some of the things that you learned from that planet that you're taking forward into Shadow
Revan? Great question. Shadow Revan definitely draws on all of our learnings. It draws almost as much on Rise of the High Cartel learnings as Oricon. Oricon did go well. Rise of the High Cartel, there were some opportunities for improvement there. And so we learned a lot from Rise of the High Cartel. Like dicks, mission pack, make it worth the player's time. Like Oricon is very worth your time. And that was the approach going into Shadow Revan. Is make sure that if this is worth the player's time to do. Make sure that it's rewarding. One of the things that happens by the High Cartel is that some players just didn't even go to a camp. They just like, you know what, I'm just gonna do daily areas and level to 55 around without even going there. We didn't want that. You know, we spent so much time building these cool worlds and these cool stories. So we made a big effort to draw on the lessons not just of Oricon, but of all our past content and make it very worth the player's time. That's the highest level of design.
I think as well, you know, doing a solo story leading into the operation, you know, it had its pluses and minuses, obviously. Like, you know, we really wanted to get solo players more aware of, you know, how cool an operation can be, give them something that's like, oh no, really, like you said, the Dreadmaster story is a story, there's cool stuff happening here that maybe they weren't familiar with or even didn't realize existed. So, you know, that, again, that's something we've kind of done with Shadow Revenant, is try to have the story lead you into an operation. But, you know, the downside to that was you couldn't see the very end of that story unless you played an operation, right? And so I think learning from that was, as much as we tried to get that, you know, we really do need to make sure there's always a solo way to experience the coolest, you know, the big parts of the story, the Cryptpath story. So that's why we've gone that way with Shadow Revenant.
One of the cool questions that one of my guildmates asked is, in Guild Wars 2 and WoWstar, you can have guild crests. Will this be something we'll ever see in game for
Tor? Possibly. I can't say never.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of those features we've talked about off and on.
As long as we love Tor, as long as people keep playing it, we're going to keep adding stuff to it. So that's entirely possible. I can think of some more challenges there. You know, it has to fit within Star Wars.
Yeah.
IP, but those aren't challenges.
One last question.
We got time for one more.
It's a race.
If you ever do another Grease-centric thing, I'm going to expect Kefis to pop out behind the gate.
I love the Grease so much, dude. Just let me know.
Thank you, everyone.
I want to thank, you know, Heather and Swatarisa, you know, one for the recording and also the transcription of that. That was great. What were some things you guys took from the Q&A that you were really, you know, surprised to hear and maybe, you know, grateful to hear?
I was really grateful to hear that that they wanted to tell us more information about things in the future, and also just excited about that I got to tell them things that I wanted personally. It was just so excited, like, oh my god, they're actually listening to me.
Yeah, that transparency is one of the things I was most interested to hear. They kept talking about how they put themselves in this perfect storm of silence because of the Revan expansion. But I'm hoping now that that's over and after everything's said, we can learn a lot more about what we should be expecting coming up now.
Yeah, I have to agree. Because I was beginning to wonder, I was like, hey, we get this community team, we're not hearing much from them, we're not hearing from the devs as nearly as much, because as you well aware, as somebody in the social community trying to report on things that are going on in the game, we kind of live by hearing stuff from those people. And if we don't hear anything, it's hard for us to kind of, without making stuff up. So I think that was great to hear that they're going to work harder on being more transparent with things that are going on. Yes. And Heather, as I was listening to, I was like thinking, did anybody else have questions or was it just Heather pretty much?
Oh, I had that big ol'. I wish I brought more. Cause, you know, they were answering everything, so I wish I, well, no, we did run out of time, so I
did notice that. It was like, There, none of them said, like, no, can't, I mean, very rarely was it like, no, can't answer that. It was, yeah, definitely had an answer. And
there was quite a few that said, we can't answer this right now, but the expression they said it with said, there's something coming, we aren't allowed to talk about it yet.
And let's see, going through the things, one thing that stood out for me, and we kind of talked about it before we even started the show, I was glad to hear how they plan on doing the expansion a little different than Rise of the Hutt Cartel. I am one of those people that they mentioned about didn't really do Mekeb, you know, right off the bat when the expansion came out. I was more like, I'm going to get my level up to 55 and do that stuff, and jump into operations, as opposed to, you know, this one, they're kind of like, you will be, they want to put more story content and focus on people, you know, wanting them to go through it rather than, oh, I'm just going to get up to level 60.
Mm-hmm.
That was something I took from it that I was really glad to hear. And then something else, and I believe you have a couple of follow-up answers about the damage.
Yeah, Hillary Nicole, I sent her a transcript to check over it and make sure there wasn't anything no one was not supposed to say or anything that was wrong. And she got a hold of Rob Hinkle about two of the questions that the devs on the panel weren't able to answer very well. These were actually both Heather's questions, and the first one was about the combat system in 3.0. She asked, can all players expect to produce equal damage regardless of what class they choose? And they answered, they try and stick around 5%. And Rob Hinkle added to that via email, the answer is yes, mostly. We have a range of target DPS numbers that we want all of the DPS disciplines to fall into. Where you fall in that range has to do with things like if you are burst or sustained spec, or if you are ranged versus melee spec. Our goal is that no class is more than 5% off the middle of that range. The other question was by Michael, and Michael was asking about their testing, and they were making jokes about how they used to use a stopwatch and now they have better tools to do so. But what he wanted to know is, what kind of gear do the testers use? Because if they're just using stock gear, it's not really indicative of what high-end tier players are using. So Rob answered to what gear they're using. It depends what we are doing. For pure DPS test runs, like against a dummy, we tend to wear the highest level gear available to the players, fully augmented, stimmed, and with all of the legacy companion slash buffs. We do our best to select the same stats players tend to wear, but that process isn't as rock solid as it should be.
Thank you. And thank you, Rob, for those follow-up. I think that's cool. So what do you guys think of those? The answers Rob gives us.
So I think there is no such thing as, there shouldn't be any such thing as people rejecting a certain class for certain group content like operations just because of the class that they play or whatever discipline they choose. You know, if no class is supposed to be more than 5% off, I mean, you know, how, I really doubt that 5% is going to affect when you're trying to be down on a boss.
That can make a pretty big difference, though, because the lowest one would be 5% below and the highest would be 5% above. So that's a good 10% change there.
That's also depending on the player, too, though. So I think, you know, an excellent... What class do people really like for DPS? I don't know.
I heard assassins are popular.
Yeah, so you could have a, you know, a really good assassin or a really bad assassin. And I guess it just depends on... People will have to judge by the player themselves and maybe not the class. I guess for really high-end nightmare operations, maybe this would matter, but,
yeah.
You know, so far, I think we're doing fine.
Secondary question was actually still really interesting. I'm curious to see how they go about finding what exactly would be the best preferred gear, like if they actually take a look at what some of the top-tier players are wearing or if they're just, like, going on the guides on the forums and stuff like that.
I'm really surprised. With everything they do as far as analytics, they can't tell exactly what people are wearing and go by that and set out, this is what such and such class is wearing.
I thought on those, those parse records, do they have what the people are wearing too? I don't know.
Oh, yeah, they do. They do.
That. Yeah. So maybe they look at what the top players are wearing from those, information sources. I don't know.
Possibly. During future testing, have everybody parse. and have that recorded into a database for them.
They could have everyone parse, or they could put in their own DPS meter.
Ooh, they're even better.
Did we ask that?
Ooh, no, you didn't.
No, we did not ask about not having to use the second party tool to parse.
Now we are. BioWare, how about we just get the...
I wonder if that's something they left out on purpose, like to not encourage absolute maximum DPS to the intenseness and just to leave people to figure out on their own, or if it was just something they didn't have time for.
Probably a combination of both.
Could be. So anything else you guys came across while you were there during the Q&A that you just thought...
I think Michael is definitely in the 1%. I thought that, but he was so, you know, he was sort of a cool person, so, you know.
I was surprised how many things were just, we can't do this right now. Like, a lot of the things Michael suggested, they even if they like them, they won't be able to do them for another, like, year, probably.
Yeah, and even, like, with GSF, that I keep trying to bring up, if they have nothing planned right now, or if they have no... you know, nothing at all that they're working on, then this is, whatever they start to work on is not going to be out for a long time.
Yeah, that's probably true. I do think that he's right on, though, Michael, is that Kef is going to pop out somewhere. Definitely is going to be in there.
The Kefis jokes will never get old, I'm sorry.
Never. Never. Let's see. Well, I think right now that's going to probably do it, unless you guys had anything else to go about. That you picked up on that in the Q&A or anything like that?
There's so incredibly much. I would suggest anyone who's interested in a specific topic for the Q&A but doesn't want to read the whole thing, just control F and type in the keyword.
Yeah, there is a lot to take in that, but it is really well. And I want to, again, thank you both for, you know, Heather recording it and, you know, Sword Teresa for doing a transcription for that for everybody. So. And, as we move on, I think I want to remind everybody we will be returning to our live stream November 30th at 5 p.m. Eastern Time, so be sure to stop by our Twitch channel and say hi.
Contact us through our website, CorellianRun.com, through Twitter, at CorellianRun, or you can contact me or Jason personally on Twitter, at Heather_PLS, or at JT_HollowNet. You can also talk to us on our Facebook page or Facebook group. You can leave a voicemail on our website. Or if you have any questions or ideas for discussion topics for the show, you can leave them to us on Twitter or by email at CorellianRun@gmail.com. Also, we're looking for writers, so you can email Jason@CorellianRun.com.
That wraps up for us at Corellian Run Radio on this special recording. Well, thanks for you tuning in. Until next time, I'm Jason.
I'm Sotrisa.
I'm Heather. May the Force be with you, or keep that blaster by your side, kid.
You've been listening to Corellian Run Radio, a Star Wars The Old Republic podcast. Tune in next time to hear Heather say,
1 week to Shadow of Revan.
End transmission.